You know, I could do a braid, but it is like really sloppy. I do a real sloppy braid.
In your hair?
In my hair. Yeah. Yeah. It's just tiny, tiny curls.
Sipping on Sondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here, Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Tenants and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a Tenants and Tunes.
Welcome to Tenants and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Hope everybody's having a good week this week.
Yeah.
Jimmy, before we start,
yeah.
And before I even ask you about our week.
Okay, you can skip. Yeah, what?
It's our 25th episode.
What?
This is crazy.
Oh my goodness, we can rent a car.
We're so old.
We're the oldest.
We're the oldest. But we're doing a special series today.
We are?
Yeah, this is super special.
Tell me all about it. It is super special.
Instead of focusing today on pairing a wine directly with a show, we're going to pair a wine with a person.
What?
And we're going to call this series the Madderization of Mentors.
Because what does that mean? What does that mean?
So madderization in wine is basically when you put wine through oxidation, and it's the maturing of dessert wines like sherry or port or Madeira when you're purposefully exposing them to oxygen so that they can mature and get that like nutty quality about them that we love in dessert wines.
Yes.
And I think that it's the same way with some of my mentors.
Oh.
Is that they've helped me purposely put me in learning situations to help me mature and grow.
And now we all get that
nutty
flavor that we all love about Jessica.
So that's going to be part of our new series is the Madderization of Mentors.
I love it.
How was your week?
It was great. It was great.
Good.
Yeah. I was, it is apparently spring already.
Yeah.
So,
including spring showers.
Yes. Yeah. I am wet from the waist down.
Oh, maybe not something our listeners want to know.
Rain wet moms. Rain wet moms.
I have a really funny story from this week.
Give me it.
So one of the kids that I babysit is 10 years old, and she went to Hebrew school this week where they were learning about Purim.
Okay.
And one of the things during Purim is that you make bags for bags of food for people that you care about. And so she made little bags of candy. And on mine, she wrote Jessie, which is her name for me.
Uh-huh.
Underneath it says, keep acting. Like, needed that reassurance.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Under that is a clear wine glass.
What?
With some red wine in it. And underneath it says Chardonnay spelled with an SH.
It's a drawing?
This is a drawing that she did on this bag completely unprompted by me. Also, this rabbi thinks that I'm an alcoholic. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm imagining her in Hebrew school asking the rabbi how to spell Chardonnay, and it's cracking me up. So that was my week.
This is one of my caregivers?
Right. How do I do this for my babysitter?
Okay.
Enough. We have to introduce our guest.
Yes. The reason why we're all here.
Star of stage and screen and an amazing mentor, Terrence Mann.
Woo!
Hi, friends and moms.
Hi, friends and moms.
Yeah.
Hey, hi, guys.
Terry, hello. We're so happy that you're here.
Yeah. Oh, all my moms are here for this.
Right.
Night.
Good. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So, this is going to be a little bit different than our usual episode. Let's go ahead and start drinking this wine.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and smell it, and I want to see what you think.
What is it called first?
This is the Uccelliera Rapace from Toscana, 2014.
Ooh.
So we have a super Tuscan from Tuscany, Italy. 70% Sangiovese, 20% Merlot, 10% Cab Sauv.
Yeah, you can totally smell that.
Right? Mm-hmm. You get that in the smell. So we get lots of fruit forward, like red fruit forward, cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super tannic.
Yeah.
Is there smokiness in the back? Is there like a hint of
cedar?
I can, yeah, there's something like that, like leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a little leather in
some
there.
Some leather in there.
But it's like black cherry or something.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like.
Oh,
it
okay.
Smells like, smells like.
Yep. Let's go ahead and taste it.
Let's drink this thing.
Let's get to why we are here.
Mm. Yeah.
Licorice.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, bang. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, guys, welcome to Tannins and Tunes, starring Jessica and Terry. I am out of a job.
Wow, man.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
up front.
It's great.
Great tannins. But, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of hit you, then they soften real quick. And
yep,
then like
yep.
That licorice. And I don't get the fruit, though.
Really?
I mean, maybe because when you taste it, it's like it goes right to, which I love, it's that mineral.
Yes.
Mineral.
Yeah, yeah. And the, like, herbaceousness, mm-hmm. too,
yeah.
of it.
Yeah
yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe in the back? Is the finish?
Well,
finish?
I like that you smell the fruit and then you taste and you get that minerality, just like Terry was saying, that like the fruit is definitely there on the nose. And I happen to know that you like Italian wine. So I kind of came into this knowing that. What I like about this company, I almost said brand, is that it's done, like I said, in Tuscany, but on this hillside where the soil is super stony.
Mm.
And so I think that you get that a lot in the wine. And so it's this microclimate that...
Limestone?
I don't know if it's limestone, right. but it is like a stony, gravelly right. area. Mm-hmm. But what I like about it is that this is a lot more velvety.
Mm-hmm.
Than you get with Super Tuscans. Sometimes Super Tuscans like hit you in the face, and this is a lot more elegant,
yep.
in
yep.
my opinion.
Yep. It has a velvet quality.
Ooh. Kind of like your voice.
Why, thank you. I'm going to drink some more wine.
Oh,
yes.
What a coincidence that the velvet wine pairs well with the velvet voice.
I wonder who thought of that.
Again, welcome to Tannins and Tunes, everyone.
But I like this wine, too, because it's not, it's complex, and it's not necessarily what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
True, because you smell a lot of fruit, but you taste all this other leather, licorice,
mm-hmm.
tannins,
mm-hmm.
like you see that limestone, that gravel stuff.
Right,
in
yeah. exactly. Yeah.
And so it hangs around a little bit, too.
It does hang around. It hangs around. I like that. Kind of like another person I know.
In the theater scene and in life.
Okay, so let's start getting into it. So we have our wine. We're just going to sip on this, and it's going to be a fun show.
Excellent.
It'll be great.
So again, I'm coming into this knowing you for a while.
Yeah.
Friends, moms, I just met him.
But you're already
and
best friends.
We're already best friends.
We are.
Friends.
What's going on?
Good.
Nice to see you.
It's so good to see you again. I've missed you.
I know. I missed you. You never write. You never call.
Never send carrier
pigeons. I'm so
pigeons.
Busy. Oh, busy. Are we karaokeing? We're karaoke. What's your karaoke? Terry, what's your karaoke song?
That I like to do?
Yeah. You got a karaoke song?
I could lie awake just to hear you breathe.
He sang it for us. Yes.
I love that. I can't sing it very well. I love trying to do it into karaoke. What's your favorite karaoke song?
Bye, bye, bye. Because I do the choreography. Bye, bye, bye. Don't want to be a fool for you. Just another player in your game for two.
Excellent. What's yours?
I think the last time I did karaoke, I don't like doing karaoke. It's not my favorite thing in the world. I think last time I did Jolene.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a fun one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever taken her version of Jolene and put it, slow it down?
Yes. It's gorgeous and
isn't
haunting.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts. So I don't think you know this, actually. That you and I had a brush with each other before we even met each other.
How so?
I went, when I was about 10 years old, I went to the Lost Colony and saw one of the ones that you directed.
Oh, back in early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
2000? 2001 is when I was directing.
Yeah, I was 10 or 11 years old.
And you went to the Lost Colony.
Yeah.
So we were like kind of in the
We were like in the zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kept the program because then when I was 16 and I went to Triple Arts for the first time, I said, I remember this name. I know this person. And I went back because I keep every program and I found the program where you had directed it.
Meant to be.
Meant to be. Meant to be.
I love that.
So listeners, Terry and I met when I was 16.
Correct.
And I was doing the Triple Arts.
Our Triple Arts Musical Theater Intensive at Western Carolina University. Yeah.
Exactly.
Our first year.
First year.
We which was 10 OG. Years ago, by the way.
Oh, gosh. Now I'm old.
I know. We had 16 people.
Yeah. And it was great.
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible program. If you are interested, if you're a high school or early college student, you're interested, or if you're a mom of a high schooler or early college student, check it out. It's awesome. It's at Western Carolina University, which is where I went to school, as everyone knows. Mm-hmm. And it's a great series, or a great two-week series where you can learn acting and dancing and singing and putting all those things together.
Yeah, I can do the whole pitch on it for a second.
Do it.
If you go to triplearts.com, you'll see.
I just like to give me a nice.
Give me a little underscore.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah, go there. So come to Triple Arts. Go to Google triplearts.com July 15th through August the 4th. It's a 3-week series of musical theater training that you will never forget.
Perfect.
Triple Arts.
It's going on the website. Okay. So I want to back up in your career a little bit. When you got out of school, you did Barnum, correct?
Correct. I was with the North Carolina Shakespeare. I graduated from North Carolina School Years in 76. Right. I'm 78, I beg your pardon. And then I went into the North Carolina Shakespeare Festival right out of school for 2 years. So I had 9 months of employment, then I had like 3 months off.
Right.
And then the second year, I had 9 months of employment from March until January, and that was 1979, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to New York. And I was looking through the trades. I was very happy to go back to North Carolina to go work in the Shakespeare Festival. But I was visiting friends, looking at the trades, and I see Barnum directed by Joe Layton.
Who you knew.
Who I knew because he had directed me in The Lost Colony for 5 years. So I thought, I'll just go down to the Menzkoff Theaters and just see if I can talk to Joe and say hi.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll audition. Maybe I won't. But so I walk down there, and I'm going to the Menzkoff. Walking into where they used to have the rehearsal halls there, where the theater is now, the big, you know. And he's walking in, and I go, hi, Joe. He goes, hi, Terry, what are you doing here? I said, I'm coming to audition for you if I can. He went, sure. Can you juggle and do circus skills? I said, yes, I can. And fast forward, he literally gave me my break and saw that I got cast out of 300 guys.
Amazing.
For 9 roles, and I was on stage as one of the ensemble. And I understudied the ringmaster, which I subsequently went on for, and I was also Jim Dale Barnum's understudy, which I ended up going on for in the National Company when he went out on the road. So
amazing.
It was amazing. This guy gave me my
so big, their eyes so wide and low, I feed them bona fide baloney with no truth in it. Why, you can bet I'll find some room to buy my corn. Cause there's a sure shooting sucker born a minute, and I'm referring to the minute you was born.
Now, quick question: could you juggle at that time, or was it one of those things where you like, yeah, I can juggle, and then you like?
Well, of course, I would have said it either way, but it so happens that I could do a lot of circus skills.
Oh,
in
wow.
fact, there were two friends of mine who had graduated from School of the Arts with me, and we were going to do like street performing. Juggling, because we could juggle, we could walk slack wire, we could do three high stuff, and it was, you know, all that circus skill stuff I could really do.
That you just are with your buddies and you do when you're in college.
Yeah, you like hang out. Okay, we're going to do a keg stand and then we're going to do some high wire acts. All right?
Let's go.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite audition stories that I've heard is your Cats audition story. And I was just, it's one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good
this.
One.
Okay, this now. Is, normally it's better visually, but I'll give it the Cliff Note version of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Barnum, I was on the road in Barnum, and a friend of mine came back from his vacation from Barnum, and he walked up to me in our dressing room. We were out in San Francisco, actually, and he said, Terry, I was just in London, and I saw this show called Cats, and you are perfect for this role called the Rum Tum Tugger. You got to go in for it when it comes to New York. I went, okay. So I called up my agent, and I said, Lou, give me an audition. And he said, okay, and he calls up. And so I'm in a Broadway. I mean, I was in a Broadway show, then I was in a national show, so I thought I had a little bit of track record there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so my agent calls me back and says, they don't want to see you. I went, okay. Call him again. He called me back 20 minutes later, so I really don't think he called him again. But he says, they don't want to see you. Right, exactly. So I on my own nickel, and my wife at the time was English, and she had family over there. So on our own nickel, we called up friends who were like rich people that we knew over there who had money in the show. And they got us in touch with the general manager, who got us in touch with the stage management. So on our own nickel, we flew over to London, and they eventually allowed me to come to a put-in rehearsal they were doing for other cast members to see if I could get in the door. So I go to the New London Theater and I'd seen the show the night before, and I went to the New London Theater, and I knock on the stage door, and the stage manager opens and says, yes, can I help you? And I went, my name is Terry Mann. I think some folks called about me coming to audition for Cats. He went, what? Right. Moment, please. Goes away. Anyway, door opens again. Oh, right. Yes, of course. Heard about you. Yes. Come on in. They're on the lunch break right now. So I walk in, and there's everybody sitting over there on a lunch break in the New London Theater where the Cats stage is, and they're all the Cats, and they're in rehearsal clothes, and Gillian Lynn, the choreographer, is sitting over by the piano, and she's eating a tuna fish sandwich, and I walk over to her, and I say, Miss Lynn, my name's Terry Mann, I'm here to audition for Cats. I think you got the information on that. And she goes, oh, well, darling, I think we have enough people in the show right now. I said, oh, ha, 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 funny, okay. No, for the American comedy, she says, oh, right, yes, of course. I said, if you can get the pianist, I'll go ahead and just sing my song, and then I'll get out of your way. She says, well, darling, the pianist is going around the corner to the pub for lunch, so we don't have anybody to play. And I said, well, I can play for myself, if that's cool, and I can just sit down and sing a song for you, and then I'll get out of your hair. She says, fine. Of course. And she claps and she goes, darlings, speaking to the cast members, darlings, darlings, we're going to be entertained by an American. So I go sit down and I play the song by Elton John called Take Me to the Pilot. And then she walks up to me afterwards. She says, you know, you look like a very good friend of mine, Tim Curry. And I said, well, thank you very much. He happens to be I'm a fan of his. He's my idol, actually. And she says, fine, I'll see you at the callbacks in New York.
Yep.
Fast forward to July 1st, I go to my callback. There's two other guys in there, we dance and sing. And, you know, one guy's a real dancer, and the other guy's a soap opera star. And so I go, well, I got lucky. So I leave the audition. I go call my agent. They said, they just called. You got the role. And I said, whoa. And by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, let me in, then I wanna go out. I'm always on the wrong side of every door. As soon as I'm at home, then I like to get about. I like to lie in the bureau drawer, but I make such a fuss if I can't get out.
Come on, come, come, take a curious
cat. And there isn't any need for you to doubt it. Anything about wow, wow,
it's happy belated. Happy belated birthday. So long ago.
Such a great story. That's literally one of my favorites.
It's still so surreal to me that I really did that. You know, just
guts.
Kind of just went, okay, I'm going to go get this.
Yeah.
But it goes to show, like, if you think that you're right for something and you really believe in it, like, don't stop.
Correct.
Don't stop trying.
That's right.
Don't stop trying for it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I love that. Well, but not everything that you've been involved with has been as commercially successful. Like Lennon.
Correct.
Which is what no one
Why
wants
you gotta
to
go
talk
there
about.
For, man?
I said commercially successful. It was successful in its own right.
It only ran for a couple
of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
But talk about that a little bit. Can you speak to that? Like how was working on that show? And I'm sure that it was such a cool experience.
It was a really cool experience because Yoko Ono sanctioned it. And it was the only show. People had been wanting to do a show about John Lennon and or the Beatles for years.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the only show that had been she'd really sanctioned. And so she was around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about John Lennon. And so it was only about his music for the most part. The Beatles were in it in the beginning. But it was an amazing experience because at the time I had a 1-year-old and a 9-month-old here at home. And there's one story though that I'll tell you about particularly was Charlotte, my wife Charlotte Dubois, was she was doing Chicago, but she was also understudying at the same time. She was standing by for Christina Applegate in Sweet Charity.
Oh,
at the same time?
At the same time.
What?
And as a side note,
she's
the only person that's
amazing.
Ever gone on for Chicago in the afternoon and Sweet Charity that night.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes. Insane. And we were, we had, like I said, we had like a 1-year-old and like a, what was it, 9-month-old or 3-month-old. I forget how old they were, but we were about ready to do our first big presentation to Yoko Ono and all the producers. And I was home, and Charlotte got a call that Christina Applegate sprained her ankle, and she had to fly to Chicago to do the show because she was out. So Charlotte left about 8 o'clock at night. I put the kids, the babies, to sleep, and all of a sudden I hear Shelby, my youngest, she's just throwing up. So she starts throwing up all night long. And I called the pediatrician. They said, just give her Pedialyte. And so I've got a kid that's throwing up, and I just got towels all over our bed, and she's laying there throwing up. Then I go in to check on my other daughter, Josephine, and I go in to look at her, and I see something on her face. I turn the light on. Her nose is, like, running, like bleeding. Like she's got a nosebleed. So I've got a kid that's got a nosebleed that I'm trying to stop, another little baby that's trying to, like, that's throwing up all night long. So I'm up all night long.
Love
Finally
it.
Fall asleep at 7:30 in the morning. Had to be there 10.
Oof.
Oh my God.
I go there and we're kind of doing a little rehearsal beforehand.
Yeah.
And finally we start to do this run through. And I remember sitting and doing and we took the actual transcripts from the bed in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
And we were actually acting, and I'm playing John Lennon in the bed in, and literally 9 feet from where I'm sitting is Yoko Ono. And I think because I was so exhausted and like in this weird trippy dream state that it was that I just didn't care.
You're
I was like
yeah.
Peace,
hey
love.
Friend,
hey hippie love, tie dye, whatever going on. And it was just the most bizarre, surreal experience.
Right.
I don't know if that was what we were supposed
no,
to talk
I love
about,
it. I love it. Seriously. Just the that's
can
amazing.
Wine?
Yes, always.
Please. I'm usually friends and moms. I'm usually better about pouring this wine. I usually pour it without you guys knowing.
So Lennon was this amazing experience in getting to be with Yoko Ono, and then just like in Assassins, you were there with Sondheim when you did the Off-Broadway run.
Yeah, I was there with Sondheim and Paul Gimignani, who was the musical director, and all these great performers: Deb Monk, Victor Garber, Jonathan Nadari. I mean. Annie Gold and it was incredible. Yeah, and to stand around the piano with Stephen Sondheim saying, "Sing this." So he was always about that. That what we sang had to sound like what we were feeling, which is fascinating. You know, he wasn't about the notes.
No.
He had to make it be all about, you know, let's sing this. No, change that. How would you say that
mm-hmm.
if you were going to say? Yeah. you know, I think he ought to die. I think he ought to die. Then you go, da 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 da. So all of a sudden, the musicality of how you speak became musicalized.
Right.
And we had moments like that, and Jerry Sachs was directing. So it was a very heady experience, and probably one of the best acting lessons I've ever had in terms of being still and just saying the words. Just say
he
the
does
words.
All the work. Right. He did right. all the work ahead of time.
Yeah. All the work
you
ahead
just
of time.
Have to you just have to say it.
That's exactly
you're just
right.
the vessel. I think that's such a good lesson for actors about Sondheim anyway.
You are the bagel and Sondheim is the cream cheese. Cuz that is what
that's what makes it.
That's what makes
with
it.
With chive.
Yeah.
With, yeah.
Definitely with chive. And with a big CH on that chive.
Yeah. Chive. Yeah. Okay, musicality of the chive. And how's that going?
Yeah, all those consonants. Yeah. So another thing that you do really well is direct. You're a great director. I mean, I say that with like knowledge.
With love and affection and knowledge.
And I'm curious, you must get offers all the time, like left and right, to direct or act in pieces or whatever. How do you decide the projects that you want to be a part of?
Most of the time, I'm in a position where I've been asked to like be the artistic director of a place, like
right.
Connecticut Repertory Theater, so
right.
I get to choose and pick that stuff. I have to say, whatever... I used to live in the world of being more selective, of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to wait for this to come along. Up until about 2010, I was in that kind of world. And I don't know why there was a moment where I was just going, I got to start saying yes.
Yeah.
I just have to live in a world of yes, because when you're living in a world of yes, everything gets positive.
Is that when the movie Yes Man came out? Is that you from starring Jim Carrey?
He watched it.
And he's like, I get it. I love it. Because if you didn't, I did. It was definitely...
Maybe I watched it, but I don't remember. But I don't. I just started saying yeah. yes to everything.
Right.
So when everything comes along, I just say yes to it.
Right.
And I do it. And you know, I've been very lucky. You know, when I came to New York, I had no expectation.
Right.
Like when I was in here to get Barnum, I just came up to visit. I wasn't trying to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So... There was no expectation. I wasn't trying to grab a brass ring. I just was... the most I'd ever hoped for was to be the third spear chucker from the left at the Public in Coriolanus or something like that.
Me. That's what I want.
Which I think is funny, because I think that's something different in maybe our generation, because I think we're like gold. I don't...
I just want to get my equity weeks for health insurance. That's all I want.
I think we have these ideas of like... You know, fame and stardom and stuff, instead of like, I don't know, maybe just doing the work.
Yeah.
Wow.
What concept?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you could stay in the moment, say, here's the next gig, and say yes, and let's just go get this next gig, no matter where it is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because when there were dry times when I wasn't doing anything in New York, that's when I went to North Carolina. That's
right.
when I went to North Carolina mm-hmm. Theater. I just would go down and say, can I come down and do this? Can I, just to stay in it, to stay inspired, to stay passionate.
Yeah.
And I think the power of the ask, too. That's something that I've learned a big lesson from this year, the power of the ask. And just saying like, hey, I really want to come and teach for this day. Can I?
Somebody else calls it make an unreasonable request.
Yeah. Wow.
Make an unreasonable request.
Why not?
Why not?
Because if you don't ask, the answer is always
no.
What did you say?
No.
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 Some people say it to me.
It's true.
So sometimes in the audition room, I imagine that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no. God.
No.
Do you think that the casting team is like a bunch of the plastics from Mean Girls?
Sometimes, yeah.
They're just like writing in their burn book about you, Jessica?
Yes. No. It goes directly on the headshot, because then I can't use it again.
No. Oh.
And do you ask for them back?
No.
No, but I love when they give them back to you. That's the real.
Not a
no,
good sign.
I actually prefer it, though, because I'm like, I spent $1.50 on that. Thank you. Who is somebody that you are constantly following the career, and every time you see them, you are super impressed with them and their work?
Gosh.
Is this like a looking in the mirror moment right now for you?
I don't even
awesome,
know what
Jimmy.
I'm always looking at my wife's career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And what she's done and how much she's done and what she's accomplished and how she's done it.
Yeah.
You know, with grace and with an amazing amount of talent. I mean, she's been in Chicago for over 20 years off mm-hmm. and on doing it. And I've seen her do it all through those 20 years. And every time I see her do it, it's as fresh and as and informed and, like, you know, she's in
and
the
incredible.
Moment.
Incredible. It's
and
so
incredible.
Athletic and amazing.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
so good.
And it changes. And I'm always so, God, I'm just so impressed with her, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be like her.
That's probably a good thing.
So she's the one I follow.
That's great. It, you know? That's awesome.
It's an easy way to follow.
You know, we did an interview today with Playbill.
We had to
do a thing where they would they gave her all of my shows and they gave me all of her shows, and we had to like sing a line from each of those shows. I knew all of her shows. She knew none of mine. It was like Beauty and the Beast. She would go. How's that thing? Ever go
Beauty and the
I don't,
Beast?
If I don't love her, what is it? How's it go? If I don't love her, not long ago. Okay, what about Cats? Oh, Rum Tum Tum. Yeah.
Is it just a song from the show or a song that you sang from the show?
She had to sing one of my songs from one of my Broadway
okay.
shows.
Yeah.
A piece of it. Just like measures.
Great.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
just had to do a lick. She didn't know any of it. I knew every one of hers.
The Cats one is funny just because she was there.
Yeah.
Correct.
This is the
every
best,
night.
Like, newlywed
game.
Yeah.
Or oldieweds.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are like oldieweds.
Okay, so here's the thing. It is, first, oldieweds, but it's also like oldieweds Broadway edition.
Yes.
And then we take... Or, you know.
# musical theater nerd alert.
Yeah.
So my mother would kill me if we didn't talk about Les Mis.
Yeah, talk about
she
it.
She would kill me.
Oh, okay.
There, out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from grace, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield till we come face to face, till we come face to face. He knows his way in the dark, but mine is the way of the Lord, and those who follow.
Okay, so I want to know the moment that you look forward to for every show, the like the one that you were like, we're here. We're at this point in the show. This is my favorite. Ready.
Oh, wow. Well, there were moments that were always terrifying to me. But that's why you do them.
Yeah.
Because you're in that you're never more real. You're never feeling more when you're in those moments where you're having to standing out there on the stage and in an iconic show like that. And you're like, you know, representing and singing that stuff.
Is it okay if you speak to some of those?
Well, I mean, when I did... Doing the song Stars every night, you know,
yeah.
Was always, I don't know how to explain it. I would love to say that I knew what was going on in my mind every time I did it, but I didn't. I just went out there and stood, and the show had led me up to that moment, so it was so personal
mm-hmm.
and so so visceral about I've got to find this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's God's will that I find this guy. That's the thing about that show and that I found when I read the book that and that I sort of decided was the way to play him. And the axiom that he lived in was he believed in the Old Testament, which is mm-hmm. a God of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And Valjean believed in the New Testament, which
God
is a God of love.
Yeah.
And so rules... And fear and thing, and that's the way we live.
Justice.
So correct.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I approached it, and that's what gave me solace and made me feel, you know, like I was doing the right thing until the moment, I think, and to answer your question, mm-hmm. it was the moment when Valjean lets me go, lets Javert go in the sewer.
Right.
Or I rather, Javert lets Valjean go because he's trying to save Marius, save us all.
Right.
Yes.
That moment where Javert is compassionate to the man he's been trying mm-hmm. to find. Mm-hmm. That moment always, I get chills now, on what that does to you, to realize how wrong you've been all your life.
Right.
And in that epiphanal moment, you change, but you can't deal with the change, and so you...
Yeah. So you have to...
make a choice.
Yeah.
And what a choice. What a choice.
Oh, my God. Right?
Yeah. I love that.
Are we...
I have one more question before our game.
Is it a Les Mis question?
It is not a Les Mis
question. Okay, then I have a Les Mis question, all right? And it's very serious. Okay. And it's something that I think our listeners need to know.
Okay.
And so if we get to a dark place, I just let it, all right? Or don't. It's okay. Marius, Cosette or Eponine, what's going on? What do you think? What's a love triangle? What are your thoughts? Marius, Cosette or Eponine? Cosette or Eponine?
Come on. What is it? You know, Marius, upscale, wants to trade up. He wants to trade up. He wants the Cosette thing. There's money.
Wait,
she's got a beautiful black dress. Eponine.
Wait.
Probably smells bad. You know, she's a little, you know, she's a girl. She's also younger.
She is.
You're saying Marius isn't even in love with Cosette. He just wants to trade up.
No. Well, I am saying, no, he falls in love with her. But you were saying Marius or Eponine. I mean, you were saying Cosette or Eponine.
Cosette, Marius or Eponine. Now, yeah. Now we're going to go here. Yeah. What if Cosette?
Yeah.
It's
a triangle for sure.
She's like a little brother to him.
Yeah.
Right.
I love it.
Or sister.
No,
although
brother.
Hers is unrequited. It's the perfect unrequited love.
It's the beautiful unrequited. Okay, now, guys. Okay, now I want to we're talking Sondheim. We're talking Les Mis. I want to revamp.
Not Sondheim or Les Mis go together. Great.
Well, we were talking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were in the world. So, like, those worlds. Yeah.
West Side Story. We're talking Little Brother. I want an anybody's. Love triangle.
Oh, she has one. Don't worry.
Did you play anybody?
I did.
Oh, so who was it?
So she, my anybody's at least, was always really good friends with Baby John, but her unrequited love was for Tony, because there's actually this scene where she breaks off from the Jets. Like, the Jets are out fighting the Sharks. She breaks off to go find Tony at the end of the... I think it's at the end of the Tonight Quartet, right before the end of Act 1. And she's the one that goes and gets Tony and gets him out, because he's just killed Bernardo, and he's right. just, like, sitting there and, like, crying. And
Eponine and Marius.
Same thing. We're ready.
All right.
Totally. That's it.
And
I love it.
So I say this because I learned from the best when I was in college.
Uh-oh.
To, like, think about these things.
From
and
who?
Do my research.
From who did you learn?
From Terrence Mann.
And Claire I.
And Claire I. And Bradley. Everyone.
Oh.
And Karen. Like, I had great,
so good.
Great professors at Western. But you were one of them. I know that one of your big pieces of advice is to be the hardest working person.
Yeah.
That's like the advice that you give all the time, is like, you be mm-hmm. the hardest working person in the room or in the industry. Just work your hardest and success will find you in some way, whether it's in the work or out of the work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know, Jess, it was, we've always said that, we've always, you know, tried to, but I've never heard it expressed. You said it, you got to work harder than anybody else.
Yeah.
That phrase was, reinforced specifically when we took our triple arts kids here in New York to see Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte,
whoa.
My wife, actually got 53 tickets. when the show first opened on
and
Broadway.
Still doing Chicago and also flying to for Sweet Charity.
Well, no, she was done with that.
But I just like, she's like, she feels like she's doing like five things at once, always.
Always, always.
And just crushing them.
Crushing it. Just crushing it. And we took our Triple R's kids that we do here in New York City to see Hamilton. And we did a talk back afterwards. And Lin-Manuel came down and said, apropos of your audition situation, you know, that you were talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yes, yes.
We were sitting there and one of our kids said, what about an audition? You know what? I mean, I go to auditions maybe. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, and that rejection. He says, listen, Lin-Manuel says, listen, auditioning is your job. That's what you do. That's your job, is to go audition, to go in, do it, feel the best you can feel, walk out of there going, nailed it. Next, getting the show, that's
bonus.
Gravy.
That's
then somebody said, how do I get to where you all are? And Chris Jackson was out there, who played Jefferson?
David.
David. They were all sitting there. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jackson, you know, played Washington, stands up and says, and said that, said, you have to work harder than anybody else in the room when you're working.
Yeah.
You just have to be the hardest working person up there, which is what you do.
Yeah.
And it pays off because whether it's on Broadway or whether it's doing regional theater or whether it's doing...
Even not theater at all. Even just
not theater at all.
Your job and your life.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you feel good at the end of the day that you could not have done anything else.
Correct.
That's what I tell people all the time, that, like, especially with my students too, I say, like, showing up is 80%. Yeah. Doing your best is the other 20.
That's right. That's right.
And if you do that, then you can't be mad at the end of the day.
No, you can't. And the rest is left to the theater gods.
Yep. And your height.
And your height. And your height. And if you fit in the costume.
Yeah, seriously. Right?
Those wigs, let me tell you. Gotta
you
find that wig.
Spamilton?
No, I haven't seen
no.
it yet.
I don't even know what it is.
I've heard it's really good. Yeah. Actually,
my uncle
saw it.
The composer of Forbidden Broadway?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's canon
that.
Now.
We're adding that on the end.
That's
we're
canon.
Adding that on the end.
That's canon.
So instead of doing musical theater trivia, I am going to do some rapid-fire questions for you.
Okay.
You ready?
I know.
Okay. Favorite audition song to sing?
Your song.
Okay. It's Monday night. What are you watching on TV?
What?
It's Monday night. What are you watching on TV?
Rachel Maddow.
Okay. If you weren't an actor or director, what would you be?
Politician.
Ooh. Moment when you felt like you made it.
My first night on Broadway in Barnum when I run out from my position on the cube and I look out into the audience and I said to myself, I'm on Broadway.
Oh, I love that. First album that you ever bought?
Abbey Road. Beatles Abbey Road.
Yes. Best advice you ever received?
Work harder than anybody else in the room.
Jessica Humphrey.
Craziest fan story?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Jessica Humphrey.
This podcast. What's your favorite perk of the job?
The feeling after you've finished a show and you're sitting in your chair at your dressing table and that warm feeling that comes over you of being satisfied of doing something you love.
Ooh. Worst pitfall of the job?
8 shows a week.
Yeah. Describe your best wine drinking experience. This podcast.
This podcast is the best.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Okay, last question. What wine would you pair with your wife?
Ding. I dinged in. Do I get to?
Sure.
You want to pair with my wife? Go ahead. She likes what I normally what I pick.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be a Barolo.
Ooh, yeah, classy.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is just a real, like, you know, right from right there in Tuscany, that Barolo. Isn't that where it's from?
Yeah. Well, yep, right at the north tip of Tuscany.
North tip of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a Rolo, which is a fancy candy. So
this is how we know that Jimmy doesn't just
know.
Learning about wine.
Yep.
That's how you know.
Yum.
Awesome. Yeah, I loved every single one of those answers. Sure. Politician.
Amazing.
Really?
You know what? I don't know why I just said that. Maybe because we're in such a politically
right. Yep.
Fucked up climate right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a friend of mine who actually is going into politics because of that.
It's a good time for that too. Shake it up.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I think it has a lot of the same mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that.
In terms of theater.
Yeah. In terms of being an actor. In terms of presence. Yep. In terms of working hard. In terms of I don't know.
In terms of just convincing people that what you're saying is truthful and it's right.
Yeah.
And doing the right thing and trying to take care of people and being, you know, responsible to your constituents.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's like lawmakers aren't just lawmakers. They are, in a word, and especially right now, they're celebrities.
They are.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, we're in a reality show.
And I hope everybody gets a rose.
everybody gets a rose.
Mom, you get a rose right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV, actually.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That I will never forget. I had probably just gotten off the phone with you. And I was on contract because we were talking about Connecticut Rep.
Right.
And I just got off the phone with you and I go back to my room and I was like, oh, I'll, like, watch some 30 Rock before the show. And then your face came up and I was like, what?
Oh, isn't that weird?
It was weird. It
isn't
was
it weird?
Weird,
but isn't it so much fun to see friends on television?
Yeah. I get weirded out when I see myself on television.
Oh, definitely.
I go, oh, who's that guy? Oh, it's me. It's so weird.
That's honestly why I haven't watched Sense8 yet.
Any of it, huh?
Any of it.
Oh, wow.
But I've heard such good things, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. It's a trip. It's something you need to, you know.
I didn't even, what? You're in Sense8? Now I'm definitely watching.
You know
it?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard very good things.
Yeah.
But this is the icing on the cake.
Right. Well, I think the icing on the cake for you would be in Gargoyles.
Yes.
Jimmy's going to love that.
What?
That yeah. Terry was the voice of Oberon.
I was.
In Gargoyles.
What?
So for our moms out there, it's a animated TV series that was very popular when Jimmy and I were at the age to be watching.
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Oberon.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
And for anybody in New York, you can see Terry currently starring in Jerry Springer, the opera at the New Group.
Till
March 11th.
Yeah.
I love it. And other shows that we didn't mention that he starred in, because I have to be super nerdy. He was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. He was Charlemagne in Pippin. He was in The Addams Family. He was in Tech Everlasting and Finding Neverland and all of these amazing, huge shows. So if you don't know Terry Mann's work, go look it up. Listen to some cast recordings.
If you don't know Terry Mann's work,
why are you listening to this podcast? This is not for you.
This is not.
So I got questions for two of you.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here we go, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Favorite musical?
If it's an old musical, it's West Side Story. If it's like a new modern musical, it's Falsettos.
Good. Jess, favorite musical?
Oh, that's so hard. What is it today? Because
that's a musical. What is it today?
No. Like today, my favorite musicals.
What is it today? What is the? Yeah. Favorite
I just want that first like fly out of your.
The Light in the Piazza.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I love a good Gettle.
That's so good. You love a good Gettle. Yeah, that's good.
So good. It's so complex, and every time I listen to it, I get something new.
Right. Favorite role that you would like to do, no matter if you could sing it or not. What role would you like to do?
Oh, my God. This is a lightning round right now for us.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You do first. You go first.
Okay, Jess.
Roxy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Not Cassie?
I already did it. I don't really want to relive that ever again.
But anyway, she did a spectacular job of taking over for somebody. And yeah.
Yes,
Ariana DeBose, who was on our podcast.
Yes, she told us the story.
Right.
Crazy. What about Jimmy? Jesus?
Cosmo Brown.
In
Singing in the Rain. Oh, Cosmo. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the silly guy is. My life and my love.
Oh.
It's true.
Favorite wine you've ever drunk? A moment with a favorite bottle of your you remember drinking? Do you do that?
Favorite bottle I've ever?
Yeah. Have you ever had a moment your favorite drink of a wine?
Of a wine?
It?
No. I probably like the first. I'm gonna be really sappy and said, for the first bottle I ever had with this lady over here, Jessica. On my first ever episode of Tandons and Tunes.
Oh, that's nice.
That's really sweet. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's great. And Jess, what's your favorite? You remember?
When I was in grad school, I went on a trip to Napa with my mom, and that was really special because, like, I needed that trip. And I remember being literally in, like, a cave of a winery that we were drinking in, and I had this glass of Pinot, and it was just that moment of, like, wine is special. Mm, like wine means something, and wine can be explored, and it's kind of like musical theater and anything that you're into, and if you decide to be interested in it, you can never stop learning.
Right.
And I was sitting there with my notebook, and I was like, I want to do something with this.
I lied. I'm sorry.
It wasn't as sweet, and he's taking it back, listeners.
I loved it. Well,
now
but
what is it?
Okay, so my friend got married. My friend got married, a childhood friend. His father is a winemaker.
Wow.
And so when he was born, when my friend Bobby was born, we'll call him my uncle bottled this wine, and he kept it for like 32 years bottled, and then he opened it at their wedding. Maybe he's like, would this work or would this not? And it totally worked. It was smoky and effervescent.
So cool.
It was beautiful.
That's amazing.
So cool.
All these things for you right now.
Thank you.
No, I mean, all the questions.
Oh, what?
Go.
What?
Favorite musical.
My favorite musical?
Yeah.
Sweeney Todd.
Okay. Favorite role that you wish you could play no matter what?
Demon Barber.
It's pretty Todd.
Which I'm doing.
Yeah.
At Connecticut Repertory Theater.
Yes. Yes.
Come see it this summer.
Okay. What was the, is it?
And then, well,
and
we,
then favorite
we
Ryan?
Entered the five favorite ones.
There was a wine that I had, other than this wine right
of
now.
Of course. Yeah.
the Terry wine.
We were visiting friends on Shelter Island, and they had a cellar, but it was a cellar that was literally dug out of dirt, and my friend said, go down and pick out a bottle of wine, and walked into the cellar. The cellar only had wines from the 60s and the 70s and the 50s, because their grandfather, who's a very kind of famous person, had bought all this wine. And I walked in, and I'm looking at all these wines. I know a little bit about wine. I don't know as much as Jess does right now, or not the science of it like she does. But I walked in, and there were all these bottles. There were these Lelands and Rothschilds, but there were these bottles of Petrus from 68 and 67 and 69. Mm-hmm. Now Petrus 67, 68 and 69 were when they were out were like brilliant. Mm-hmm. And there was like 20 of them. And so I picked a 68 Petrus and a 65 Lalande. It was
What?
And they were both respectively like $2,500 a piece, the bottle. And we drank and we opened them and they were like, going, "Oh, drink whatever you want." And we opened it. And the thing about the wine, that particularly that Petrus was that you opened it and you let it sit. We let it sit for about 45 minutes. So you drink it and you get this kind of fruit, this minerality, and then you get this meat.
Ooh.
Like you taste meat. And then as you're eating, we're eating with food. And then as you drink a little bit more of it, then you get these leather tones. Then you get this cinnamon. The complexity of it as it grew, as it sat out, as you ate, was like something I never experienced
before. Oh, that's amazing.
Pretty awesome.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing. So let's get that wine. Right, okay, let's get that wine. All right.
Once we get sponsored.
Jessica, let's get
68 Petrus.
Right. Great.
Yeah. Terry, final question.
Yeah.
We are best friends now. Are we getting an apartment together?
Well, you can live right here with us.
Great. Done.
Done. Terry, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, well, I don't do social media. I mean,
what is your email address?
Like Instagram or
Triple Arts.
Triple Arts.
You go to Triple Arts. You can find me there, and
I'll
always check in with that stuff. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Triple Arts. Perfect. And anything else that's coming up that you want to plug? Or
what's your new favorite future?
I'm finishing up Jerry Springer. I'm getting ready to go do Spring Awakening, and then up at Connecticut Repertory Theater, which is a great season ahead of us from May through July. We're doing Disaster with the original composer and director Seth Rudetsky, and Jack Pollock will be up there directing. Seth will be in it. We've got a bunch of really great people. I'm doing a concert version of Sweeney Todd with, and I'm playing Sweeney, and Liz Larson will be doing Mrs. Lovett. And then I'm directing a production of Jesus Christ Superstar, which we got a bunch
of killer cast,
really
That's
good
amazing.
People. And so if you wanna come up to the campus of the University of Connecticut, it's in stores.
So pretty.
It's so gorgeous up there. Yeah, so Jess pretty. Worked up there. From shows, just check out Connecticut Repertory Theater, the Nutmeg series.
Ooh.
I love it.
Because that's what we're doing.
Nutty and, Nutmeg.
We're doing that.
See, something aging and then it gets nutty.
And then it gets nutty.
We brought it back.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find...
Follow Triple Arts.
Triple Arts. Well, that's where you can find me. They can find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson and on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Instagram and Twitter. Our wine today came from Some Good Wine, which I've talked about before. So if you're down there near NYU, go on over and Josh will hook you up. Josh is amazing, and we definitely want to send all of our love their way. And, keep reviewing for the podcast. Reviews and ratings really, really help us. And continuing for, I don't know what we're actually going to be doing in March, but we donate $1 for every review that we get on iTunes towards a different charity each month.
Right.
So if you give us a review, we can help donate towards really amazing causes and people that are doing awesome things. Like for the month of February, we donated towards the Time's Up Now campaign. So keep on reviewing, keep on rating. It helps us in iTunes, and we get to help other people.
And keep on listening.
I just wanted to say the best thing about being on this podcast is that they let the guests kill the bottle.
Yes! Always!
Thank you, guys.
Thank you!
That's the area in green. We'll move across the plain where you plainly can be seen. Then the enemy in blue will undoubtedly pursue, and we'll hope to keep your losses to comparatively few. And then the men go marching out into the fray, conquering the enemy.